Hey, it's Chaz and AJ.
Hello.
Thank you for listening to our podcast.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoy it. And please subscribe, comment, share, do all those things that make us look good.
And be nice.
Thank you. It's a game trending on Twitter that Phil's been obsessed with.
Oh, really?
And he thought it'd be interesting to hear you play it.
Oh, okay. Like a crash test dummy here. Okay.
That's kind of what's happening.
Okay. Keyword dummy.
What's it called? Wordle?
Wordle.
Wordle.
What does AJ have to do now? Yeah.
You have to guess the word in the Wordle boxes. So every word is a five-letter word.
Okay.
All right. Already he looks confused.
Already I'm ready to throw off the roof.
Well, it's very simple. So you just type in any five-letter word. I just sent you the link, so you have it.
Wow, if you want to see AJ not look happy.
I didn't want him to have to Google it because then I knew it wouldn't happen in the spring.
I agree. You have to just spring it on him.
Here it is.
He's not happy.
Okay.
So it'll give you all the rules, but all you have to do is type in a five-letter word, and then based on the clues that they give you, you have to try to guess what the actual word is.
So AJ, they already picked a word.
Right.
And then you're going to put in any word you want.
Right.
And it'll give you some clues from there how far away from the pin you are. You want to talk or no?
I'm trying to ascertain. I see a keyboard here and a bunch of blocks.
Right. So just guess any five-letter word. That's how you start the game.
Any five-letter word. Okay. Okay. Early.
That's a good one, actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
What happens now?
Balls.
Enter. Press enter.
Oh, where's enter? Oh, there
bottom
it is.
Left keyboard. Yeah.
Thank you. Nope. Well, but three of them are, four of them are in gray, one's in green. What does that mean?
All right. So green is good. That means your next guess
sucks. Yeah.
Your next guess, you want to leave that letter in that spot.
Okay.
The other four letters are not in the word that you're looking for. So you have to pick a new word. Where
that's
the green,
unbelievable that
right?
he got that many.
Yeah.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
So
AJ,
the green.
Are you having fun?
No.
Because games are fun.
Right. Okay. So it has to have the L in it in the same spot.
Right. So don't move the L. The L has to stay where it is.
Okay.
And all of those other letters that you guessed, don't use that in this new word that you use.
Okay.
Because they're not involved in the clue.
This is difficult.
This is dumb.
This is very difficult.
Don't folks work?
This is how I start my day. This is how I get my brain going.
Yes. And look what happened. Let's see. It has an L in there.
We're the opposite. We have coffee.
No.
Is that Jingle Bell?
It has an L in there.
Oh, you could type it in, too. Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, I know you could type it in. Just trying to think what the hell it is. It has an L in the fourth spot.
So if you look at the keyboard, it'll show you the letters that you've already guessed.
Yes, I know.
Right.
People are actually playing this on Twitter.
They are.
Yeah.
Like crazy.
Yeah.
So people either love it
nobody works
or
anymore.
They hate it.
Yeah. Right.
There's no one in the middle with this game.
And there's no explanation. So like what people are tweeting is like AJ was talking about the green box. What they do is they remove all of the letters and you can just see like the little boxes on Twitter. So people are like, what the hell is this? Wordle? It sounds like a Pokemon. What are we talking about here? What is this?
I know the L right there. I can't think of another word that has L right there.
What does the yellow letters mean?
What does the yellow letter mean?
Oh, you're playing two now?
Yes.
Okay. The yellow letters mean those letters are included in the word, just not in the order that you put them. So you have to move them around.
Oh, wow.
Let's see. S-E has two when it came from the what the hell has an L right there?
You got to think out loud.
Right.
Okay, so something has an L right there, but I can't think of anything else that has an L right there besides early, which I put already. I was going to put girly, but I can't use an I. I mean, R rather, because R's not in the word.
You can. You're just not getting all the information. You can repeat letters.
I'm going to give it a shot then, damn it.
Sometimes you got to just do that if you can't think of anything.
Yes, it works for me.
If anyone wants to help AJ.
No one can help me. You know that.
No, you're doing great so far.
Enter. Okay.
Oh,
still,
same thing.
Yeah, okay. The L apparently is there. What the hell else has a...
You're looking for a word with what? L in the what? Third position?
In the fourth position, yeah.
Fourth.
Yeah.
Five-letter word.
Five-letter word. L,
L is in the...
In the
fourth position.
Yeah, the second to last word, yeah.
What letter. Other letters do we know you have?
We have Q, W, T, U, O, P, S, D, F, H,
That's
J,
more than five.
K.
He just has the L.
That's it.
Yes.
That's the only letter we know is in this word.
Yes.
Gotcha. Okay.
Let me try this one.
Yeah, you want to throw out some letters you haven't used.
Please speak out. Think out.
M-A-N-L-Y.
You used the Y already. You've used the Y in every puzzle.
I need to write kill Phil.
That's it. You got it.
You're not giving yourself all the information you can use. That's all.
I'm going to... Delete this one.
Yeah, so if you use the
this
Y...
This is stupid.
You can just use the typewriter, AJ. You don't have to click.
What?
Use the typewriter that belongs to the computer.
Relax.
It's called a keyboard.
I got this.
Whatever. Typewriter, keyboard.
I got this. Relax.
Very different technology.
You do your method. I'll do my method.
Use the same way.
Jennifer's texting in suggestions.
Oh, yeah?
Could. Wait,
kill Phil?
Oh,
C-O-U-L-D. Okay. C.
Could, would, should.
Whoops. Hang on. I screwed this one. C-O-U-L. Not K, you freaking boob. I meant Coke. Could. Okay, enter.
Siri.
Nope, just the O and the L. Now I got an O in there.
Yeah, that's good. It's progress.
All right.
Is it in the right spot?
No.
What do you mean it's not in the right spot?
It's yellow, so it's in the word, but it's not the second letter like you put it.
How you spell Kulo?
If you're just tuning in.
C-U-O-L-O.
AJ's being manhandled by a Twitter game.
This is stupid.
All right,
don't folks work?
So did you type in could?
I did.
And what happened?
The O is in the wrong spot. The L is still there.
Where should the O be? They don't tell you.
They don't say where the O should
be. Say it's
they
wrong.
Just say it's wrong. It's in
an
letter.
O.
But
so
yeah.
There's an O and an L,
there's
and the L
o.
is in the fourth position of
exactly,
a five-letter
right,
word.
Right. Let's see. I can't.
Matt from the water doctor said quilt.
Quilt. Okay.
Oh.
Q. Well, no, because you. I'm commission.
Just try it.
Q. I. Relax this, hyena. Yeah. Quilt. Okay. Enter. And nope.
Wow. So you only get so many guesses.
Well,
so
yeah,
this is where you want to.
It's supposed to have O in there because quilt does not have an O. That'd be quilt.
Oops. You ready to file your income tax?
No. I will, but who's ever really ready?
Yeah. And what's different? Can you deduct a home office? Can you deduct that space?
All right.
Let's talk to Carol, the accountant. Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning.
So let's just say I worked out of my house in 2021 for most of the year. Let's just say 4 days a week or some. Let's just say 4 days a week. And that office takes up 20% of the house. I don't know. I'm just saying. Just for numbers.
Right.
Easy numbers.
S and G's, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Do you get to deduct, you know, a certain percentage of your electricity, utilities, that space in the house, and what for a tax deduction?
If you're an employee and you work for someone remotely, you do not get to deduct any of those expenses. The only way you can deduct home office expenses is if you own your own business.
Ooh. Okay, there goes that. I see dollar signs and little birds.
Well, you didn't work from home, so you're okay.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
They got rid of all those deductions a few years ago.
Oh, of course, no.
Of course they did.
People were, you know... taking a little advantage, and those deductions are really kind of hard to verify. So with the shortage at the IRS staff, they just said, eliminate the deduction, and we don't have to worry about it.
Wow. That's a problem this year, too, right? The IRS staff? They're saying you're going to be waiting for a return.
It is going to be a brutal year. Right now, they're saying for simple returns, the refund will come in 3 weeks or more, and the higher the refund, the longer it's going to take. And there are two key factors. If these numbers for advanced child tax credit payments you received or the stimulus payment that you received in March, if those numbers are off by $1 or $2, you could be waiting the whole year to get your refund.
Wait, now run this by me again. Child tax care. What?
Okay. So last year, the IRS instituted a program where they gave payments to parents with children in advance of a credit that they normally would get on their tax return. Okay. They wanted to give them the money up front because all the prices were going up for food and gas, et cetera, et cetera.
Man, I don't remember this happening.
Yeah.
But, okay.
Well, you don't have children.
Well, I have an adult child, but yeah. Gotcha.
So the parents that got these payments in advance have to reconcile them on their tax return. They're going to get letters from the IRS. They were supposed to go out in the beginning of January. I have known no one yet that has gotten a letter. It's a 6419 that's going to tell them how much the government paid them. And
will they get that from the government?
They get that from the IRS. It'll be an official letter, and they need this letter to in order to file their taxes. And if they filed jointly, if they were married, the husband will get one and the wife will get one.
But that doesn't mean you could do it twice. It's just a one.
No, it's just a one. They have to be added together.
Oh.
And again, if that number is off by $1 or $2, you're going to be waiting forever for your refund.
$1 or $2.
So you need to have that paper in your hand when you're filing your taxes.
I want to vomit.
No.
And I don't even have to deal with that.
Right.
What do you do if you're divorced? Can you imagine that? It's like hard enough figuring out what time, what weekend we're going to have the kids.
Yeah.
Now it's like, all right, who's taking this exemption?
Yeah.
Who got the letter and who didn't get the letter?
Right.
Who hid the letter? Now you're in trouble.
Talking to Carol, the accountant. Okay. So there's one, the child tax, whatever.
Advanced child tax credit. The second is the stimulus payment that everyone received last March.
Did we get one in March?
Yes, there was one in March for single.
What was that, the third one?
The third one. So on your 2020 return, you needed to report your first two payments that you got. On this new filing, you have to report the third payment that you got. Again, if you are guessing at the amount and say, I think I got about $1,000, and that's what you put down on the return, that's going to hold up your refund.
Didn't everybody get, it was stages, depending on your income level?
Correct. So the amounts vary. It's not a set amount, so everyone can't say, I was single, so I got $1,400. Every person got a different amount. If you had one child and your income was a little higher, you got a different payment from someone who had a low income and one child.
Did it go right into your bank account or did it come as a check?
If you have direct deposit on file with the IRS, it went directly into your bank account.
All right, so that'll be easy enough to look up.
Exactly. And the IRS supposedly is putting online tools on the computer this year to get the amounts for those two amounts that you're going to need, the stimulus payment and the advanced child tax credit.
That's amazing.
Uh-huh.
They make it so complicated.
Yes,
it doesn't have to be this complicated.
And they have said, though, if you're going to try to call them, and I know many of my clients had such frustration last year in trying to get in touch with them, you're not going to be able to reach them. They don't have the staffing to answer phones.
Wow.
Okay,
a lot of people bought and sold real estate. How does that work into the equation?
Most real estate transactions, primary homes really doesn't figure in. You would get your normal deductions if you qualify on Schedule A. If it was investment property, the capital gains rates right now have not changed. There was a lot of talk about them being raised for this tax filing and onward. But again, because Congress and the IRS is so far behind, there no new regulations have been put into place. So if you sold investment property in 2021, You do get the very beneficial capital gains tax rates that have been in effect for the past 2 years.
Okay, and what's that? Basically, whatever your income tax level is?
The capital gains tax rates are different than the regular. They're much lower.
Huh.
It depends on your income level, at where you fall in the whether you pay 0% capital gains, 12% capital gains, 20% capital gains.
Now, capital gains is, and I'm going to do easy math.
Oh, good.
If you bought a house for $100,000, I'm just saying, just to be easy.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
All right? And you put $100 into it, and you sold it for $225,000, you'd get taxed on the $25,000.
That's correct.
Not the $125,000.
Right.
Not the $125,000. You get taxed on the $25,000.
Right, because you bought it for $100, you put $100 in,
you sold it for, yeah.
Then you made $25,000. You walk away with $25,000. They tax the $25,000.
Wow.
Correct.
All right.
But again, you're talking investment property here, not a residence that you're living in.
Hmm. Gotcha. What about if you were on the other end? If you bought, anything to be concerned with, or any deductions that might be helpful?
If you buy, you do get benefit of your mortgage interest, your real estate taxes, any fees, attorney fees, things like that that you paid to purchase the property.
Now, I thought the mortgage interest went away.
Not for investment property. Mortgage interest is 100% deductible.
Oh.
For individuals, for a house, if you're in your primary residence, it didn't go away, but it has to exceed the standard deduction. So
that's why I get an accountant.
Right?
I don't know.
I just hand papers over.
Know. See, they do this because they know all we could do is 2 + 2. That's it.
Equals 5.
What's the rest of it?
Right. Right. Even those stupid TurboTax forms, I get like 3 seconds into it. I'm like, all right.
I couldn't enter my name.
Okay. This line, that line, minus this line, add that line.
Yeah,
what's
I don't know.
This number?
Ah!
What line?
We had a great question come in. What about online gambling wins?
Okay. Well, any gambling winnings are supposed to be reported.
Oh, no.
And losses can be offset against the winnings, again, providing you file a Schedule A. Online tracking is a little tricky, but I will say that the IRS is in touch with all the online venues and things that go on online, payments, purchases, whatever. So if you're doing the online gambling, I would be reporting any winnings you had and offsetting it with any losses.
If you're dealing with Joe with the brown paper bag, you might be okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're good.
Yes.
All it's
right.
Okay.
So anything
yes.
online, win or loss?
Correct. Because the IRS does have access to the online files.
Yikes. All right.
Same what about thing with investments? Same thing with cryptocurrency.
Okay. So let's just say you lost a bunch of money on Bitcoin this year. Does that count that you lost?
Yes. A loss
nice.
Counts. A loss gets limited on your tax return to $3,000 per year, but you never lose it. So if you have an accumulated loss this year of $10,000, you get to deduct $3,000 this year, $3,000 next year, $3,000 till you use it up.
Okay.
But or it offsets any gains.
Okay, huh. So let's just say that. So this year you lose $9,000. You deduct $3,000, but next year you gain $11,000. So you have to do the math on this. This is a constant math equation going along.
Six to carry forward, and then you're only paying on 5.
Oh, how about lottery tickets?
You don't lose the loss, but you can only take $3,000 of it each year.
AJ wants to know about lottery tickets.
Yeah, I mean, I'm totally in a loss right there.
Lottery tickets. Large amounts get reported to the government, and you will get a form from them.
No, I mean losing all the time. Like, I didn't win anything. I've been paying, buying these tickets, and I haven't won anything.
You have to win to deduct losses.
God damn it.
Really?
Boy, if I got a big deduction coming.
You have to win to deduct.
For gaming purposes like that, you have to have winnings.
And that would just be for the year. He can't go back to 1985.
Correct.
Damn it.
All right.
Correct. Same thing in a casino. If you just keep losing in that slot machine. You get that nice statement from Mohegan Sun at the end of the year that says you lost $5,000. That doesn't mean anything unless you have winnings to offset.
I didn't lose. I know where it went. That machine.
We have a minute, and Rich in Fairfield's been holding. Do you know what his question is, Phil?
He was asking, I believe, about unemployment in 2021, if you were unemployed most of last year.
Oh. Ooh.
Okay. Unemployment in 2021 is fully taxable. In 2020, the rules changed, and the first $10,200 of your unemployment benefits became non-taxable. But this year, in 2021, it's fully taxable.
Ouch. Why wouldn't they just take it out while the money's there?
Yeah.
Why would they do that to us?
The IRS.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
Let me give you unemployment, and then at the end of the year, give me most of that money back.
Right.
Like, do you know how what life is like? That money's going to be like in bills and stuff. Yeah, let me call the utility company.
Yeah, hang on a second. I'll go find it for you.
I get that money back for you so I can pay taxes on it.
I'm going to play the lottery so I can go, you know, pay you back.
All right. Clearly, we have to have you on like 9 more times.
Yes. If you don't mind.
If I survive tax season.
Yeah.
Sure you will.
All right.
You're
a veteran. Thank you, Carol. Appreciate it. Joe Linta, NFL agent, on the phone now. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. What a weekend. Wow.
Best weekend of football ever. Right?
Wow.
Best in my 39 years, that's for sure.
Wow. Where do you want to start?
Well, you know, when you watch the games on Saturday, you go to bed Saturday night thinking, oh, my God, you just couldn't expect anything more the next day. And sure enough, yesterday surpassed it. I mean, those two games yesterday are like, wow. I mean, if you're an opera lover or you love art history, you still would have liked this. It was just, I'm not easily impressed, but that was, wow. That was just, that's all you can say about those four games.
They were nail biters right down to the end.
Well,
every one of them, and everyone had their little nuance of reason why what happened. And there was just so many sort of sidebar stories, like in the first game, Joe Burrow, the quarterback, who's an emerging star, got sacked 9 times, which is like an NFL record for a team that gets sacked 9 times and still win the game. And then that night, you have the Green Bay special teams, which could be the worst I've ever seen. I mean, there were mistakes in that game that if I was coaching a fifth grade team, I would have screamed at the kids. The two
and
games.
And you would say that's what lost it for them, the special teams.
Well, that game, yes, for sure. And then yesterday you had two teams that, you know, in those last drives on both teams, the opposite team on defense played not to lose, and that's why they got screwed.
Oh, you felt that way with Tampa Bay?
Oh, yeah. Their coverage, I mean, if you watch their coverage, and they were just playing soft, playing not to lose, and those two passes. I mean, and the crazy thing is, Brady ties the game up, which is unbelievable. 27-3, they tie it up. And then on the first play, if you saw it, the quarterback of the Rams, Stafford, fumbled just a little bit, but he recovered his own fumble. And you just thought that would have been the storybook ending for him to fumble. Brady gets it. They kick a field goal and win.
Wasn't paying attention, right? The ball went boing. Ball!
But to the Rams' credit, they threw 2 balls down the field, and, you know, Tampa Bay was playing soft coverage, and that guy Cooper Kupp, who's a great receiver, caught the ball and put him in field goal position, and they won. It was just
unreal.
You can't give that guy an inch, man. He'll torch you all day long.
That's good to know.
And he's not especially fast. He's just such a great route runner. He's quick. He's not like a blazing. He's not like the guys from the Chiefs. Chiefs have 2, like...
burners,
bullets.
Well, the Rams had the Bucks number all friggin' day. They couldn't. They just knew stick Brady on the ground all day, and you know they looked and felt pretty good all day, and then here comes Tom Brady, and as the expressions just washed off, the horror starts setting in on these Rams. Like, wow, we might actually lose.
Oh, boy.
You know, I thought, like, how many times has Tom Brady done this to players where they thought, we got this.
Right.
We're
celebrating.
And then just the last couple of minutes, because Jennifer and I are sitting there, and she's just starting to get in the football. There was like 3 minutes left on the 2 minutes left on the clock. She's like, oh, poor Brady. I'm like, it's not over yet.
Yeah, there is
so much time.
This is when he comes alive.
It's Tom Brady.
Yeah.
He had a lot of help. He had a lot of help from the Rams. I think the Rams had a team meeting at 27-3 and said, let's try to give this away. Fumbles, snapped over the guy's head. I mean, just crazy things that the Rams did that to help Brady. And that wasn't all Brady. He had help from the Rams to get that back to tie score. But, you know, when Fournette ran that ball in to score, there was, I forget the number, it was like a minute two, I think. Fournette should have actually stood on the 1 yard line and just waved at everyone until someone came after him and wasted another 5 or 10 seconds because they actually scored too early.
Oh, wow.
The second Super Bowl, I believe, that the Giants beat the Patriots, there was a similar play where, like, at the last second, the running back realized, oh, no, I'm not supposed to do that. And he tried to stop himself. And then he wound up, like, sitting backwards into the end zone. Everyone's like, what was that?
Yeah,
why did you do that?
Something wrong with you.
I remember that. Yeah.
Taking the time off the clock was far more valuable than the points at that point. So, like, waiting for, you know, even 3 seconds, you know, as we saw how valuable the 3 second difference could have been in, like, the Chiefs Bills game.
Yeah, let's talk about that game, Joe.
Well, there's a minute left. Buffalo scores. And I said this the other day when we were speaking. Josh Allen has just like a rocket arm and freaky athletic ability. I mean, he threw some balls yesterday that were just amazing. He threw one ball, we calculated, it was 58 yards. And I don't think it went 12 feet off the ground. Because usually if you're throwing a ball 55, 60 yards, you got to get a lot of arc and it's going to be real high. He threw that like a laser. And that was a previous touchdown. And then the last touchdown was a dart. And even though the cornerback fell down from the Chiefs, the guy was still going to be open. And Allen put it there. And he puts it there with 13 seconds. I mean, they're starting to set up for the championship game in Buffalo. And all of a sudden, 13 seconds became an eternity for the Buffalo Bills defense. And again, they played not to lose on defense.
I saw them hugging on the sidelines with 13 seconds left, and I thought to myself, way too early, man.
Yeah, no.
They're showing the owner's box, celebrating.
Yeah, going nuts up there. Yep.
Yeah.
Way too early. What they did that was really stupid, the Bills, is I would have kicked off inbounds a high kick to like the 5 yard line and forced Kansas City to return it, which would have eaten 4, 5, 6 seconds off the clock. Now Mahomes literally has like one play, and you couldn't have done anything with that. So that was, I thought that was a big mistake, because I would rather have my special Mahomes not on the field and take my chances that the Chiefs aren't going to return the kickoff or touchdown, because they're two crazy fast guys are not returning kickoffs. So if you have any kind of faith in your special teams, I would have just kicked off there. But who am I?
I hear you. Looking back, as I was watching that game, though, Joe, I got to tell you, those two teams complement one another. I mean, they both have really great quarterbacks that really just run all over the place. They have great running game. Those two teams were both, they seemed very similar, fast, efficient, really good at long, short play. Like, you name it. They're great at it.
Oh, that's exactly right. But Kansas City's a little faster. And I said this for a while now. I thought that game last night was the Super Bowl. Whoever won that game was going to win. And we'll see if I'm an idiot or not. But I think Kansas City wins the next 2 weeks, and they do it now. But it's that play they had to Tyreek Hill, the touchdown before. I mean, that kid is, my goodness, can he run?
He knew. Like, on his second step, he was going, because he starts giving the peace sign to the defenders. They're in front of him still. They're not even behind him yet. He's like, I know I'm passing you.
Yeah.
It was unreal.
It was really something else. And they have to change that rule, Joe, where you go into overtime and just one team gets the ball, and if you get a touchdown, it's over.
Yeah.
You got to give the other team a chance to respond, no?
I agree, and they had a big thing on last night about this, and I now that I'm seeing this the way that was last night, in that kind of a game, the drama of allowing that probably would be a better way to go. But they made the rules, and people are watching. The ratings are up, and everybody's making a lot of money. So I
think
I
touch it.
Broke, don't fix it. Yeah. Kind of thing.
Yeah, it feels broken when a team like the Bills, after all of that, they don't get a chance to run the ball down the field. And, you know, who cares? You got 15 minutes on the clock. Just do it.
Well, I got one word for the people that think they should change it. It's defense. I mean, Kansas City gets the ball on the kickoff, 25-yard line. They have to drive the entire length of the field to score a touchdown. So if Buffalo, you know, they were allowed to play defense, they didn't have to give up a touchdown.
It's true.
And then if you don't score a touchdown, and let's say Kansas City kicks a field goal, now we're back to square one where Buffalo wins with a touchdown, ties with a field goal, and we keep going. But, you know, Buffalo was allowed to play defense on that last drive.
Mm.
It's but funny, they played not to lose. Played not to lose, and that's why they got smoked at the end.
I think Chris Collinsworth said if you ran all the numbers on the Bills, like the yards, the touchdown passes, you wouldn't believe that you would run all these numbers and look at these stats and say, oh, and they lost.
Yeah.
Josh Allen was perfect.
Incredible.
He didn't miss throw really anything. Like, yeah, he had a couple incompletions, but that happens. I mean, he played about as well as you can play.
How about Buffalo's receiver, Gabriel Davis, who was fifth or sixth receiver? He's got 8 catches, 210 yards, and 4 touchdowns. Who ever heard of him before yesterday?
Yeah. Pretty incredible. And, you know, the other thing that you don't think about, because we're watching this game, very physical games, 2 days in a row.
Yeah.
Great teams, great plays. Really superhuman beings.
Yeah.
These are superhuman beings. If you put a normal person out on that field to take one of those hits, they're going to the hospital on a board.
I'd still be there.
They're taped to a board.
Embedded in the grass.
And they could be knocked out for a few days. Like they come to and like, what happened?
Like when you hit a bug and the legs are still shaking. That'd be me.
Well, how about the Green Bay game when it's, 2 degrees, minus 12 wind chill, and we're all sitting on our couches watching the game, and you have no appreciation for what those guys are going through.
Why did he catch that?
Yeah, when you catch the ball and it cracks.
Can you imagine trying to throw the ball if you have smaller hands and trying to throw the ball in that kind of weather, or even if you have bigger hands? I mean, it's just, and your fingertips are probably frozen or you're about to get frostbite. But we don't appreciate that sitting on our couches watching it. But it's brutal.
Can you imagine being running as fast as you can?
Okay.
And then someone who's like 300-400 pounds, muscular and massive, superhuman being.
Yeah. A wall.
Also running fast, as fast as they can.
Opposite
at you,
direction.
Towards you.
And hits you.
Yeah.
And not only do you stop, but you go the other direction.
Right.
And then you get up and you're like, okay. What's the next play?
Not me.
Just like, what would that do to your lungs? It's like,
I'd be like, hang on, I pooed myself.
Yeah. It's. I think that we forget. It's like amazing that there aren't people carted off every couple minutes.
Right.
Like after every There's one person left. There goes another one.
Yeah, it's just you and me now.
The physics of the game right now with the speed, strength, and size of these guys compared to when we were all younger is just nothing short of amazing. And that's why the NFLPA and the NFL have gone so far for these protections, especially with the concussion stuff, because, I mean, concussions are a normal activity in every game now because of what we just talked about, the physics of the game now.
NFL agent Joe Linta is on. I was talking with my friend Bill Saturday night when we were watching the game. Remember back in the day with the leather helmets?
Oh, yeah.
It's like, that's going to do a lot. Leather helmet.
Mr. Peanut, yeah.
I still have mine from Yale back in
nice.
The 70s.
Looks good on you.
He was telling me that the leather helmet, because I was like, what the hell was that? Did anyone think that was going to help?
Keep your hair in place.
It was to prevent your ear from getting ripped off, because apparently they had a lot of problems back then with you getting hit in the side of your head, and they had to, over on the sideline, they'd stitch your ear back in.
Oh, wow. That's what you said. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I thought, oh, yeah, they did have those big, like, foam things around the ear.
Yeah. That's right.
Like headphones. Yep.
I think Evander Holyfield needed one of those.
Yes, he did.
Fight Mike Tyson.
Yep.
All right, so we'll talk to you on Friday, but your gut would tell you what for the Super Bowl, San Francisco?
Chiefs, and my heart says 49ers, but my brain says Rams, so I'm going to go with my heart and say the 49ers are in the Cinderella song, and you could take it to the bank that the Chiefs win the Super Bowl.
Why wouldn't you? Your brain say San Francisco? San Francisco's had their number in the last six games they beat the Rams.
Yeah. I was very impressed with the Rams yesterday. I mean, I hadn't really studied them a whole lot during the year because I actually don't have anybody on their team right now, so I didn't study them much. But
yeah,
very impressive. And one of the problems, and we, I don't know if you guys have talked about this, probably not, the offensive line of the Bucs, they were missing a couple of guys, and they, at the end of the game, in fact, they had two right tackles, both got hurt. They ended up having a third-string right guard who had never played tackle playing the position against Von Miller.
Yeah. Forget it.
Not the best matchup.
Not a good...
And Brady, I thought Brady was one of his guttier performances from the standpoint of he was getting pressured literally like every play almost.
Yep. Yeah. And the one time he had no pressure around, he threw the ball to no one.
But it was all the other thing real quick is he had his first unsportsmanlike conduct penalty in his whole career.
Yeah.
Yesterday, if you saw that.
Yeah.
He had a bloody lip from Von Miller, and he turned and said some two- and three-syllable words at the referee, and the referee threw the flag at him.
Yeah, unreal. Like, it was really something else yesterday. You think Brady will retire?
Yes.
Hmm.
I think it's... I have no basis for that. Nobody said anything to me. I just think that at a certain point, it's like, okay, I'm going to go a whole another year to hope to get back. I've already done it all and that type of thing. I don't know. If I was betting a dollar, I would bet that way, but nothing surprised me. And the way he's been playing, I mean, you can't take it away from him. He's still got the processing, you know, and his legs and his body's held up well, but the thing that separates him from everybody else on Earth is his processing. You know, the brain sees it, the arm throws it, and the speed at which he does that. That's what separates him from everybody else.
It seems like the further away he gets from that Super Bowl win last year, the less great it'll seem as he walks off the field for the last time, you know? And it's going to get harder and harder. Each year it doesn't get easier. What's that, Joe?
It would be sad if that was it yesterday. But, the other interesting thing, too, is the Bucs win the Super Bowl last year. Their home field. The Rams have a chance to do it again, too, if they win next week.
Yeah. All right, Joe. Thank you. And, you call some players today, right? Some of your guys are now, like, you had guys on every team. Some of your guys are.
Except the Rams.
Oh, okay. So some of your guys were, not going to be playing. Do you call them today and say, good year.
I talked to a couple of them, and now it's like, okay, what are we doing in the offseason, that type of thing. And the guys that are playing, like Kyle Juszczyk from the 49ers is one of our guys, and I just love the kid. He's a special kid, Harvard guy, and he had a couple of great plays for him the other night. But it's exciting to see guys you're affiliated with go to the Super Bowl. That's always cool.
Yeah. So, all right, good luck, and we'll talk to you Friday. Well, we're very passionate about the music, and it's nice to have a, body that acknowledges the great ones who have come through. But I don't feel like the Rock Hall of Fame figured it out, how to do it right. And our buddy here, this entertainment reporter, Troy L. Smith, has a method as to how people should get in. Like, here are the criteria.
Yeah, meet these criteria. Right.
What are they?
So essentially, I took several lists online that are curated and put together, pulled together a lot of critically acclaimed artists. You have, critically acclaimed journalists and historians who put together these lists. So you have things like Rolling Stone's 500 songs all time, 500 albums. You have AllMusic did a scientific study of the acts that influence the most other acts. Claimed Music pulls together all journalists' lists, as many as they can get their hands on, to have the top 10,000 songs, top 3,000 albums. So lists like that, I put together and assigned a point system for each and then tallied it up. And then when you come up with a tier system, you just find a cutoff point, and there we go.
Okay. Is it based on, so it's based on music critics?
Well, to
and
some
sales.
Extent, there's a little bit of extra points for sales. I'll say this, to sum it up, really it comes down to what gets you in my system is a combination of how many essential songs and essential albums you have. And then also influence would be the other thing. So really the general consensus on, you know, your albums, your songs that the majority of people feel these are essential. These are the hits. These are the big songs, the influential ones. And then along with how many other artists you influence, those two combinations are really what gets you in my system.
I'm starting to think the Rock Hall has it right. But we just decide.
Yeah.
We just pick our own people.
Right.
Like, oh, I understand that.
Done.
Yeah, the Rock Hall, there's questionable ones, right?
Let me go through some that I thought. Let me hear your argument for these people being kicked out. George Harrison.
That is unbelievable.
Yeah.
Okay, let me say some of these were hard for me because I didn't agree with them personally. I created this system and then I committed to it. But George Harrison, I think what happens in the system is – unlike Paul and John, sorry, Ringo. The influence that George had as a solo artist, I think really got chalked up to the Beatles. So I think a lot of these lists that I used in his case shortchanged him. Like his influence as a guitarist is immeasurable. But he didn't really show in those lists, and I think it got pushed with, okay, well, he was influential in the Beatles, and that's it. Whereas Paul and John, I think, were more celebrated as solo artists.
Okay, Bob Seger.
You know, I'm not a big Bob Seger guy.
Okay. That's not an argument.
No.
That's your opinion, then.
It's true. I'm not a big Bob Seger guy, but when you look at the list, they didn't really put together the number of essential songs and albums to get him in because his influence
essential
scores were extremely
songs.
Low. Yeah.
He doesn't have enough essential songs. How many essential songs would... And I don't want to argue with you because I appreciate you coming on.
Yeah.
I appreciate you trying to come up with something.
Right. This is point counterpoint here.
We don't want to yell at you for like trying to do something good.
No, something different we'll yell
but
for.
I just want to like see if your argument can withstand this Bob Seger thing. Like, how many essential songs?
Between albums and songs, you would probably need 20. I'd say about 20 to get in.
20.
If you don't have
20.
If you don't have points for other things like influence, if you don't, you know, to get you in over the top. And that's the thing. The list is made to be brutal, right? Like, I really wanted to take those first couple Hall of Fame classes and then just set the standard. So it's brutal. Yeah, 20. You know, 20 is a lot.
20 seems like we would pretty much go there, and the Rock Hall of Fame would look like an abandoned building.
Right, it's like one aisle.
20 songs.
That's what I want. I want a hallway, one hallway.
Rock hallway of fame, yes.
You want like the Rock, you want the Hard Rock Cafe.
The Rock Closet. Right.
Let's clear all this junk out, right, and let's make more room for tables.
Right, well, sell
and
food.
Hamburgers.
Right.
I agree, Bob Seger's got to go.
No.
Yeah.
No!
There's like a half a dozen songs that you could, that really made the mark.
That you could.
Right, that has stood the test of time. Somebody born in the 80s, decades later, has resonated with different generations. Only half a dozen at the most.
You didn't do a Disney song, that's why.
Oh my God, it's not all about Disney, AJ.
I think if you talk about the album tracks that were played on FM radio as he was releasing these albums, I think you'd find way over 20. No?
I would think.
Maybe. I mean, 25 years. You got to wait 25 years to get in.
All right. So just from the Against the Wind album, which was, he was basically at the end of, you know, his super creative period, you have Horizontal Pop, You'll Accompany Me, Her Strut, Against the Wind, Betty Lou's Getting Out Tonight, Fire Lake. That's six on one album.
I don't know, man. I give you Against the Wind, and then I'm on to Night Moves. That's all. That's what I'm That's where I'm at. I think if you look at it, does it stand the test of time?
Okay, let's. This is the album Stranger in Time. Hollywood Nights, Still the Same, Old Time Rock and Roll, Feels Like a Number, We've Got Tonight. That's five songs, one album.
That's only two to me, though.
Oh, I think you got to give me at least the first three.
This is more opinion, then.
No. I'm talking. I studied these lists. I went through it. If you go through Acclaim Music, the 10,000 songs of all time, and then yes, it's critically based, it's historians. They're not going to list all those Bob Seger songs. In the general consensus of things, yeah, you get two of those. I mean, you guys play the music, but I'm telling you, outside of
my plan was I was going to be
radio,
on your side here because you came up with something. I didn't think in my wildest dreams I would be siding with the people, the Rock Hall of Fame, thinking maybe they got it right.
Right.
I'm surprised you guys picked Bob Seger. You know, that's a hill I wouldn't have. You guys let Def Leppard go pretty quick, and now we're on to Bob Seger.
We're going to circle back to that.
Def Leppard has less in terms of tracks that were played on FM rock radio. Are you basing this? Because I'm sorry. I looked at the word rock, and I thought we were having a conversation about rock. So this would be artists that got played on rock stations. Right? Are you talking about top 40 charting? Or are you talking about album rock stations?
I'm not talking about, because it's the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. So let's go back to rock and roll, 1950s, dance music, upbeat. Rock is something created by radio stations. That's not even similar sound in a sense.
The word rock was applied by a DJ on a rock station in Cleveland.
Right. No. Rock and roll. Rock and roll is from the blues. It's from country. It's from boogie woogie. Rock is something that came out in the 70s that was developed because people started to think Led Zeppelin and Rolling Stones created rock and roll, but they did not. So you could draw lines outside of rock. You can get to hip hop.
I don't know who these people are who think that Zeppelin started rock, but, you know, let's take them out of the conversation because that's just going to dumb it all down.
They call me all the time, damn it.
They
call me all the time.
They do? Damn it, it's them again.
Hi, Jimmy Page. We know.
You know, if you think about it, this must have created a lot of emails and phone calls to Troy. Yeah.
Right. Did you put your public Twitter on this? I'm sorry.
I had this podcast. It was like a startup podcast. These two guys basically were like, we're going to find you. Only because I had eliminated Earth, Wind, and Fire from the rock and roll.
I mean, that is so brutal.
To be fair, though, he eliminated in this study 100 artists, and there's only like maybe a handful, 10, 12 artists that really you would be like, okay, maybe that's iffy. But I generally agree with him.
I don't understand your argument.
I agree with
him. So there's like 100 people that he eliminated, and of the 100, you would only argue a few.
Yes, so I agree with him. Like Bobby Darin, he could be off.
No one's going to bat for Bobby Darin.
No one cares about Bobby Darin.
No, I'm kind of surprised you picked Bobby Darin.
Yeah, of all those people.
Yeah, no, I'm looking through the list. There's a lot of names on here, and I think you made a good point right out of the gate, and that is if you're inducting seven artists every year, there's not seven artists that change the world every year.
No.
There's one or two that'll in a decade. So
you reference the Baseball Hall of Fame. They have years. No one goes in.
No one goes in.
We don't have a Hall of Famer this year.
Nothing happened. Yep.
ZZ Top.
It's tough. You know, they had two albums, two classic albums.
Two?
Honestly, two. And I like how the way you say my name is now like just getting more negative than this conversation.
No. That's just how it sounds. It's not really.
Yeah, Troy L. Smith.
That is your name, though, isn't it?
We're economizing.
Then we're going to start giving your address, too.
Right. Yeah.
What two albums did they have?
Eliminator. And then the second album, I think.
Wow.
And you're pulling from that, really. That's it.
Just Eliminator?
There's a whole part of their career you're not even aware of.
That's not my fault. Maybe it wasn't worth consideration. You know?
No, I think as an entertainment reporter who's designing a new methodology to get into the Rock Hall of Fame, and based on that methodology, kicking out a bunch of artists, you should know, you should do some experimenting to see if this actually works. Let me run ZZ Top through the method. Okay, they don't make it. Let me look up ZZ Top.
Right. The history of the whole nine yards.
Yeah. They have an album called Fandango with Tush on it. Tush was the number one song, number one album.
The anthem.
The Fandango was the number one album. And it was on the top 200 tracks. Just look up Fandango, Phil.
Okay. Opens with Thunderbird?
No, no. Oh, the stats on it. I think it was on the charts for 2 years. Anyway, there's a lot of this, Troy. It sounds like you just based it on your personal knowledge. 37-year-old guy.
No, so you guys are listing. I think it's the opposite because you guys list all these Bob Seger songs that you think are essential. But if you take a list like Acclaim Music's 10,000 songs of all time, now this is a list that pulls together over 1,000 critics' lists in history. You guys probably have 50 Bob Seger songs. They have 10. 10 Bob Seger songs that matter from a historical perspective. 2 Bob Seger albums.
Okay.
That's not going to get him into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Rolling Stones' 500 greatest songs of all time, no Bob Seger songs. Yeah. So take my opinion out of it. We're just talking about Rolling Stone. We're talking about thousands of critics' lists. They don't view Bob Seger in the way you guys view Bob Seger, ZZ Top. They don't view ZZ Top in the same way.
Okay, let's...
Forget me. Okay. I got ZZ Top vinyl downstairs.
Do you really?
Yeah, all right, if we forget that, then, okay, there should be more than 100 artists leaving the Rock Hall of Fame, no?
100's a lot, man.
Start over again.
Yeah, because who stays in? How many stay in?
With that criteria.
I want to say it was 138, maybe.
I want to see that list.
They only started inducting people in, what, the mid-80s?
86.
Oh, yeah. Look at that first class, too. Because it was clear, like, all right, there's no one in here. Who should be the first class?
Let's stack the deck and cover all genres of music.
I think it was Chuck Berry.
Yes.
Stones, Beatles.
No Stones, no Beatles.
Really?
They went more inspirations.
They went like
bands.
50s.
Yeah. So I think Elvis is in there.
Right.
James Brown, Sam Cooke,
awesome.
Jerry Lee Lewis.
And I don't think you got rid of anybody in the first class of inductees.
Listen, I'm not crazy. I'm kind of crazy. I'm not crazy.
Yeah.
Fats Domino, the Everly Brothers.
Little Richard. Yeah, I mean, I'm not crazy.
Well, you know, it's funny, though. Those artists, some of them wouldn't stack up to your methodology. They don't have 20 songs.
No, they don't.
Well, they all made it. Well, you got to understand, influence was, you know, part of the criteria, and they all scored very high in that regard.
All right.
Like, I mean, ZZ Top and Bob Seger, they're not going to get the influence scores that Little Richard's going to get.
Yeah.
But what you miss with that is, like, there's no one that sounds like Bob Seger. You know instantly when you hear his voice, that is Bob Seger. That's not an imposter.
I mean, that's not real. I don't see that as a criteria for the, like, no one sounds like Weird Al. Well, I'm not going to put
him. He should be in there.
You know what this dude is making a case for Weird Al.
I'm impressed that you pulled that out of your ass.
Absolutely.
It's like, I'm going to have the Weird Al card ready.
That was kind of weird in itself.
Troy, we got to have you back. This was a lot of fun. And I like that just there's someone out there thinking, hey, there's way too many people in this Rock Hall of Fame. So you got to start somewhere. Troy, thanks for coming on. Jimmy Coplick, Live Nation Concert Guide. Good morning, brother.
Hey, good morning. How you doing?
Morning. Good. How are you?
Good, thanks. Good.
Awesome.
Oh, what do you want to talk about?
How you doing? Good.
Hey, just doing fine, you know. Living life.
Yeah, just hanging out.
That's the best way to do it.
Another day. Another concert announcement coming.
Yep.
Yes. Yes, a special one, though.
Typically, these are, you know, that's right. It's another concert announcement, but a very special one.
Ask us who's presenting it.
Normally, these happen at 10 o'clock.
Normally, yes.
Yeah.
And right. But since it's your show, you can announce it when you want.
You know, I love you, man. Management said, hey, you guys want to stay on late on Monday and you could make the announcement right at 10 and then go into a song. And We're like, ah, well, of course.
Yes.
And then we hear that you guys were nice enough to move the announcement time up to 9:45.
Only in Connecticut.
Oh, interesting.
Ah, look at that.
Yeah, exclusive. No, the tour will be announced at 10 o'clock, but it's Chaz and AJ show, so Chaz and AJ decided when to announce the show, so we're announcing it early.
Wow. Can you tell a boss that sometimes? I'm always told, shut up.
How much can we talk about now before 9:45?
Anything you want.
Really, anything.
It's your show, guys. You got the wheel. Steer it.
Again. Sammy Hagar! Sammy Hagar!
The Chaz and AJ Summer Barbecue featuring Sammy Hagar and the Circle Crazy Times Tour with special guests George Thorogood and the Destroyers.
Damn!
Playing at the Hartford Healthcare Amphitheater in Bridgeport Friday, June 10th. Tickets go on sale this Friday at 10 a.m. at LiveNation.com. Pre-sale on Thursday at 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. at LiveNation.com. Password is the word DRIVE, D-R-I-V-E. Ticket prices are $29.50 to $99.50, and there are VIP prices available. And this will be the very first show of the tour.
Wow.
Whoa!
Nice.
It's a big deal.
Got a fresh Sammy and a fresh George.
This is extremely exciting, Jimmy.
Yeah, I agree. I think you should mention who else is in the band.
Oh, yes. That's you're absolutely
yes,
right.
Yes, yes, yes.
You got to be a promoter.
The ingredients. Yes.
Help me through this one, Jimmy. So it's Sammy Hagar, Vic Johnson, who we will look up.
Right, I agree.
Right, Mrs. Johnson's kid.
Michael Anthony.
Yes!
And Jason Bonham on drums.
Whoa.
Holy crap.
Damn. Holy friggin' crap.
Holy crap.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
Man, how long have you been working on this one?
About 2.5 years.
Wow.
Wow.
You know, it's one of those phone calls we seem to get every Thursday. When is Sammy coming to Connecticut? When is Sammy coming to Connecticut? So we heard about this tour, and I was particularly excited with the package. I thought George Thorogood added a lot to the package, number one. But also Jason Bonham being in the band made it extra special, I thought.
It's really crazy.
Seriously.
I think they do a Zeppelin song somewhere in there, right?
They have to.
I think they might. That's what I hear. There'll be a Zeppelin song or two in the set.
Wow. And Sammy can hit those notes.
Yes, he can.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be, listen, Sammy's had a great career between his solo stuff and Van Halen. Now he had Zeppelin and George Thorogood.
Wow.
It's going to be a real great night.
This is a sellout. The Hartford
I think so.
Yep.
A Friday night in June with Sammy Hagar, Michael Anthony. Vic, can you look up Vic Johnson, please?
Yeah.
I want to know who this is. I'm sure it's someone significant. And then,
I told them it had to be a Friday or Saturday because you guys get up too early the other day.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. And Sammy said, I agree.
Yeah, we're like, we leave early because we got to miss the, beat the traffic.
Right.
He's played with Sammy, it looks like, since like 1999. Started making albums with him. Before that, two bands, The Sound Barrier and The Bus Boys.
Oh, The Bus Boys. I've had The Bus Boys. It's Oates.
They played on Saturday Night Live, it looks like.
Okay.
That's cool.
Can you look up Vic Johnson lead? I'm sure. Look, this guy's got to be able to do Eddie Van Halen.
Yeah.
Jimmy Page.
He's no slouch.
He's been with Sammy since 99. That tells you a lot right there, too.
Yeah, and Sammy has great musicians always.
And they're all fun. There's no drama in his band.
Yeah, no.
And then George Thorogood. How did you get him to be an opener? That's amazing.
Yeah, isn't that nice? So I particularly had nothing to do with it. Sammy did it. He asked George as a favor to tour this summer. And so they're doing it. It's not a long tour. It's only about 15 dates, 10, 15 dates. But it's going to be, and we got lucky. We got one of them.
This is really unbelievable.
Very lucky.
Yeah. I'm really surprised. But as I said to people, I'm good at begging.
It's, hey. Well.
It works.
It serves you well. Serves us all well.
Yes,
we all
does.
Benefit from that.
So thank you.
What are these VIP prices available, Jimmy? Do you know anything about that?
Yeah, well, the VIP prices are really the tickets that are in the first five rows. It's really what we call now VIP, and they're very expensive, but they're in the first five rows. I'm trying to think of what they start at. I'm looking, trying to look it up right now. I think they start somewhere around $150.
Worth it.
That's not terrible at all.
That's like normal prices.
Yeah, seriously. Nosebleeds in some places.
I'm wrong on that. Oh. It's sort of the first row is $349. The second row is $299. And rows 3 through 5 are $250. And then it starts getting down to much more normal prices. $199 is the sixth row, and then we go $129, $99, $69, $39, and $29. So once you get past the first 10 rows, you're paying $99 to $29.
It's really incredible for the amount of entertainment you're going to get. And we said it a million times, and it's true. At the Hartford Healthcare Amphitheater, there is no bad seat.
None.
Like, you're on top of the band.
No, it's a great night. There's a lot of stuff going on. We're adding a lot more this year, a lot more food trucks, a lot more places to buy food and drink. It's our first year was our first year, and it was a great first year. And we're looking how to improve into year number two.
This is really incredible news.
That's amazing.
What a mind blower for the kickoff season, kickoff to this particular season, season number two.
Well, it's not the kickoff. We have actually a show in April.
Yeah, what's that?
Lil Durk.
Meh.
Yeah, don't play it.
Yeah, like I said, yeah. like for us, it's the kickoff for us. Yeah.
Look, if you did play it, I wouldn't even know you were playing it.
Me too. I looked it up. I'm like, wow, we need to put a lot of beep tones over here.
Oh.
I don't know. All the hip-hop acts, they have the word, they change the word little to lil.
Lil.
Yeah. Have you ever noticed that?
Yeah.
Lil Wayne, Lil Durk.
Right, there is
young,
no little.
Lil Jimmy.
Lil Bit.
Let's Lil start with
Jimmy.
Lil Kim.
Yeah, Lil Kim. There's another one.
Yeah.
Everybody's Lil.
Who do we talk to about getting Sammy on the air? Maybe Thursday or Friday to...
Yeah. I know you guys are the promoters. You got to get with it.
Right.
Watch.
Right. Jimmy's out of this one.
Jimmy's going to have fun watching us.
He's going to hang out.
He's going to say...
You can see what I do now.
Yes. He's going to say, yeah, see, I make it look easy, don't I?
Ah.
Mm.
Get it?
Yeah. It's all about begging. I keep saying that. So you got to beg to do it.
The Chaz and AJ Summer Barbecue, is that going to be on the ticket?
Yes.
Nice.
Are you kidding me?
That's cool.
Oh, my God. This is such an honor.
I got a hot dog.
Jimmy and everyone involved, whoever had this, thank you, Jimmy.
Oh,
thank you.
Thank you.
Wow.
It'll be great. Well, you did a great job with Van Halen last time.
Yeah.
So, and we know who your favorite act is, Chaz.
Oh, my God. This is, my name on a ticket with Van Halen, David Lee Roth, and then now with Sammy Hagar, Michael Anthony.
Right.
Jason Bonham. They're going to look at the ticket like, who are these Chaz and AJ guys?
And who the hell are these guys?
Fun.
Right.
That's who we are. Fun.
Fun.
Wow.
Spelled different.
All right, so AJ, as a promoter, who would you talk to about getting the artists?
I would talk to their management.
Okay. How do we get in touch with their management?
I would look it up. Probably talk to the other promoter in the market, me.
Yeah.
Ah.
Yeah, that's what I think we'll do.
You got to learn how to pass off work to other people.
I can yell that for that.
Yeah, we're gonna delegate work.
Right, we can delegate.
Yeah, pass it on to me, and then I'll deal with it.
What's delegate? What's delegate mean?
Yeah, what is... Well, Jimmy, thank you for coming on, making this announcement. Thank you for letting us do it early. It's an honor to have our names on this ticket. This thing would sell out... if you just whispered this show, it would sell out. This is going to be just another great memory already in a list of long memories at this brand-new facility in Bridgeport. Very, very exciting.
Yeah, this is the beginning of a season that will have, my guess, 30 to 35 shows this year.
Awesome.
Wow.
Very cool.
That's my guess right now. Wow. And we're only in January, so it could be more, but it's big. Everybody loves this place. All the bands, all the artists. It was easy to get Sammy to open up his tour when he heard what the backstage was like.
Wow. Well, we're looking forward to talking to you Thursday, and we're posting all this stuff up on the website right now. Thank you, Jimmy Koplik.
This was the Jazz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Jazz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut on the mighty 99.1 PLR.